From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Caleb in this series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 14 and in portions of chapter 15, where we find the record of a man who was particularly distinguished for his faith in the promises of God. Caleb was one of the 12 men chosen to spy out the land of Canaan. Only he and Joshua had brought back an encouraging report, whereas the others discouraged the heart of the people, resulting in the 40 years of wilderness wandering and in the deaths of all who were 20 years old and upward. At that time, God had given Caleb a promise of inheritance in the land. Now, at the age of 85, Caleb was ready to claim his inheritance. And the first thing we learn about Caleb is his total consecration to God. Looking back over 40 years, he testified, "I wholly follow the Lord my God." He walked with God as a rule of life. Then we see Caleb's discipleship, for he was also a man who walked after God, living a life of faithful obedience to his heavenly Father. Furthermore, Caleb walked for God, as he was an example and a testimony to those around him. Caleb's courage characterized both his youth and his old age. At both times, he displayed fearlessness in the face of powerful enemies. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 28. Base things of the world hath God chosen. Walk the streets by moonlight, if you dare, and you will see sinners then. Watch when the night is dark, and the wind is howling, and the picklock is grating in the door, and you will see sinners then. Go to yon jail, and walk through the wards, and mark the men with heavy, overhanging brows, men whom you would not like to meet at night, and there are sinners there. Go to the reformatories, and note those who have betrayed a rampant juvenile depravity, and you will see sinners there. Go across the seas to the place where a man will gnaw a bone upon which is reeking human flesh, and there is a sinner there. Go where you will. You need not ransack earth to find sinners, for they are common enough. You may find them in every lane and street of every city and town and village and hamlet. It is for such that Jesus died. If you will select me the grossest specimen of humanity, if he be but born of woman, I will have hope of him yet, because Jesus Christ is come to seek and to save sinners. Electing love has selected some of the worst to be made the best. Pebbles of the brook, grace has turned to jewels for the crown royal. Worthless dross he transforms into pure gold. Redeeming love has set apart many of the worst of mankind to be the reward of the Savior's passion. Effectual grace calls forth many of the vilest of the vile to sit at the table of mercy, and therefore let none despair. My friend, by that love looking out of Jesus' tearful eyes, by that love streaming from those bleeding wounds, by that faithful love, that strong love, that pure, disinterested, and abiding love, by the heart and by the bowels of the Savior's compassion, we plead with you not to turn away as though it were nothing to you, but believe on him, and you shall be saved. Trust your soul with him, and he will bring you to his Father's right hand in glory everlasting.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place," unquote, Joan Pinkston. Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family or friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
tell you today, as we look at Caleb and think of his consecration, we see a man who shows us how to walk, in that we walk with God for fellowship. But as I've said, the literal force of the words would indicate he walked after God. And that would remind you of his discipleship. How is a Christian to walk in this world? What are the right steps for a Christian to take? What is the right line of action for a Christian? What is proper behavior for a Christian? He walks after God. The Lord Jesus has left us an example, says Peter, that we should follow in his steps. And if we are to do as Caleb did, we are to walk after our Savior. We're to walk according to his walk. He is the standard. We hear so much nowadays about role models. Of course, most of what's said on it isn't worth saying. The real role model for the Christian is the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk after him. We are to walk according to his walk. And then, of course, Caleb walked for God. That was his great purpose. He looked at his life as a stewardship. This is for my God. All that I'm doing is for my God. That's what it means, wholly to follow the Lord. Caleb was not in this work merely for the inheritance that he would gain. Oh, he longed for that inheritance, but was not his main objective. Caleb was not in this work merely because he liked as a soldier to win battles. Caleb was in this work first and foremost for his Lord. Our life is a stewardship. God has given us this life. The old chorus says, only one life, 'twill soon be past. And it's only what's done for Christ will last. When you look at this man's walk with God, I think you find the elements of true consecration. Let me sum it up. He obeyed God's commands. He believed God's word. When you look at his brief speech in chapter 14, 5 times in the space of a few words, he is referring to the word of God and his relationship and trust in that word. He obeyed God's commands, he believed God's word, and he pleaded God's promise. I want you to think of those three things. Time forbids that I preach them in any detail today. But I want you to understand, when you draw aside all the mysterious talk with which preachers surround the subject of consecration, this is at the heart of it, an obedience to the Word of God, a belief in the Word of God, what God says he means and will do, and then the pleading in prayer of the promises of God. The man who walks in obedience, who lives by faith, and who is praying through on the basis of the Word of God, that man, like Caleb, knows the secret of a consecrated life. His consecration. That's the first remarkable element in the life of the wholehearted servant of God. But then we remark Caleb's courage. The world has seen many conspicuous examples of courage. Last year, visiting the area called Picardy in northwestern France, I saw the graves of countless thousands of those brave soldiers from the Allied armies, from the First World War. I saw Englishmen and Irishmen and Welshmen and Scotchmen and Americans and Canadians. And the trimly kept but seemingly never-ending graves of Picardy. They were brave men. I read just this week of an incident in one of the Austrian wars of the last century, when Austria had taken an awful beating and her soldiers were scattered and in retreat. A young man was found lying on the ground. His life at that point was perfectly savable. But as he lay there, he said to the medics from the opposing army, "Leave me, help someone else." And he would not be helped. When they came back, he was dead. When they lifted the body, they found the reason why he would not receive help. He was lying on the colors of his regiment. As a brave soldier, he chose death rather than surrender his regimental colors. The world has seen many examples of conspicuous bravery, but I tell you, there have been few to compare with Caleb. If you ever had to do any Latin, you will have had to read Caesar's Gallic Wars, one of the essential Latin readers you've got to do. And whether you've ever done Latin or not, you'll have heard of Julius Caesar and the famous statement, the three verbs in Latin beginning with the letter V, veni, vidi, vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. That was Caesar's boast. I came, I saw, I conquered. Well, I think that Caleb has an even better claim on the motto than Julius Caesar. He could say, I came, I saw, for he was one of the spies, and I conquered. Here's his courage. Caleb faced the fiercest of enemies without fear. When he went into the promised land, he saw the sons of Anak, and they struck terror into the hearts of most of the others who were with him. They struck no terror into the heart of Caleb. He faced the fiercest of enemies without fear. And when he finally came into the land, and he had to make good on what he said about his ability with God's grace and power to overcome them, he again faced them without fear. In many ways, he was just like David many years later, when David said to the Philistine Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." You know, I feel that that fearless stand for God is one of the most important elements in the testimony of the Church of Christ, and yet it is something that seems to be conspicuous by its absence. In this land, we are not normally put in a position of having to fear the bomb or the bullet because of your stand for God. But I do believe that the Church of Christ has too often given up great areas of the nation because of fear. I think there is a fear of the academics of America. There's a fear of the pseudo-scientists of America. There is a fear of these very learned people who sit in the ivory towers of their universities and they pontificate on all sorts of things. there is an evidence of that fear in the way that Christian scholars even respond to these people. I have often said, and I know this puts me among the spiritual Philistines as far as many are concerned, but I still believe it, that when the Church of Christ is forced back upon its methods of apologetics, it's thrown into all these philosophies for defending the faith, it is usually an indication that it has lost the spiritual power of God. You see, when the gospel is preached in the power of the Holy Ghost, you don't need any apologetics to win the day. You don't need any philosophers to come along to help your arguments. When men preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost, there is nothing can stop their preaching. They fear nobody, and they have no need to fear anybody, because God is with them. They come not with the sword and the spear and the shield of worldly wisdom, but they come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Paul the Apostle, when he went to Corinth, said he went there feeling his weakness, but determined to do nothing among them save Christ and Him crucified. The doctrines of the grace of God preached in the power of God will overcome every foe. They will overcome every stronghold. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.